Welcome to the Leadership U podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Leadership U. We're so glad you're with us.
This is Jim greeting you.
And I'm Christina. Welcome back. So, Baba, recently we have been watching a lot of action movies.
Yes, we have. And I feel like Peter Sellers in the Pink Panther and Kato jumping out and attacking him all the time when he would go home. We call them chop chop movies, but we like to see a lot of South Korean and Chinese action movies, and then all kinds of action movies, really.
Yeah, we like all the action. So we've been watching a lot of those recently, some good and some not so good, but the not so good ones are fun too, because we can make fun of them. But we have a lot of fun watching action movies. But I was thinking about it. If you could get any actor to play, if they were going to make a movie about your life, who would you want to portray you?
Well, we were talking about this just recently. I think Keanu Reeves.
You want Keanu Reeves to be your portrayer in your movie?
Yeah, I think he would do a good job.
I think that would fit. You both have kind of the longer hair, similar body types.
And we both, we have an awkward run when we're chasing people, you know, the whole nine yards. Now, if this was back in the 80s or 90s, I would say it would be Tom Selleck.
I was going to say, if I could pick someone for you, it would be Tom Selleck. We should post somewhere a picture of the side-by-side.
Of me and Tom Selleck.
You guys should see this. He looked just like Tom Selleck when he was younger. I think it was the mustache helped.
Yeah, the mustache, the hair, everything.
The very Magnum P.I.-esque style of clothes, the Hawaiian shirts.
Well, it was the same time.
Yeah.
I was in my youth in those years, too. So anyway, that would be
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
how
about you?
I don't know. I mean, I'd kind of like Keanu Reeves to portray me too in action film. That guy doesn't age, and he's so athletic.
Listen, Keanu, if you are listening to this podcast at some point, just reach out to us, and we'll connect.
We both have some big ideas for you.
Yeah, we got some great
life stories.
Life story, but some great action movie ideas.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, look us up. That's so funny. But okay, so going back to a more realistic topic, today's topic, we're talking about the value of feedback.
Yeah.
And this is so important in leadership, but also just as being part of any team. Feedback is so important to growth, and we really want to take a few minutes here and dig into why you as a leader should be offering feedback to your followers, why you as a leader should be getting feedback from your followers, and as a follower, how important it is also for you to have that feedback. So while it can be tough to hear criticism about ourselves or our project, feedback is necessary for growth. And there's a lot of different reasons why feedback is so important. It can prevent us from being stuck or discouraged. It's a way to keep learning, and it's a way to develop even better performance. So we're going to go over some tips for using feedback to your advantage as a leader. But remember, this can also apply to you as a follower. And as a leader, you know, there's always someone over us. There's always someone underneath us, too. So it's a cyclical cycle, and we have to be looking both ways. But here are four tips to using feedback to your advantage. Bye-bye. You want to kick it off?
Yeah. And before I kick it off, let me just give you just a kind of a broader thought about this. Feedback is necessary for us, actually as human beings, from both sides. We need to hear and know that we are on the right track. We're doing whatever we're doing, we're moving in the right direction. So feedback teaches us, it gives us directional value. It also keeps us on the right trail, the right pace, the right direction. And as human beings, we need feedback because it also corrects us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're off course. Now, that may hurt. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But the reality is we need feedback so that we know that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Here's the other side of this. The person that is giving you feedback needs to be able to get out what they have on their heart or on their mind, they need to feel valued. If you do not have a feedback mechanism built into your organization at every level, for every meeting, for at not just a box somewhere, drop your feedback in here. No. Listen, you have a meeting, you need to carve out a few minutes at the end and say, hey, a feedback opportunity. It doesn't matter to me if it's a meeting where you're just dumping a dump truck worth of information on your people. That's fine, but you have to give them a feedback opportunity.
Yeah.
It's verbal. There's also a feedback mechanism in responses to texts and email. Hey, listen, you can't receive a mass text unless it's spam, but most mass texts now say subscribe or unsubscribe.
Right.
There's a feedback mechanism.
Right.
So we need to value people. So I've been going to this meeting every Friday. I've been going now for almost 30 years. Thousands of men have come through this meeting.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that I love about this, that every person, every man that comes for the first time gets to sit down and talk with the founder and the man that organized this weekly meeting. And he said something remarkable to us. I remember a few years back, he said, the thousands of men that have sat with me at that table, no one has never said anything. Basically, he goes around, he says, everybody gets 2 to 3 minutes. I just want you to share your story and what brought you here.
Wow.
He said, every man, even the quietest, most timid, most insecure person, will open their mouth and say something.
Yeah.
And I believe, because I was one of those men 30 years ago that sat at that table with him, I was very shy and timid, but I felt so valued that someone would ask me to share my story or a brief story that it really made me feel valued to the point where I felt invested in that group and that organization. And here I am now 30 years later, still going every Friday morning.
Wow.
And just enjoying what's happening there. Now, if you're interested in knowing more about that organization, just email us or contact us, and I'll be happy to tell you more about it. They have an online presence that is fantastic, and you may enjoy being part of that, listening to some of those podcasts as well.
Yeah, they're a great organization. We've both been connected with them for many years. I would like to also bounce off of that idea of creating value by giving people the opportunity to give feedback. I want to quickly say that giving feedback also creates a sense of ownership.
Right.
So it gives people buy-in. When you offer them opportunities to share their voice, to give feedback, to put their opinion in, it just creates a level of ownership that you would not have otherwise. So your team can quickly get on board with projects. They will quickly get on board with your organization if you give them the space to put their opinion in, to put some skin in the game, to get ownership of that. And so really, as a leader, it is to your advantage to offer feedback within your organization. And feedback just makes things better anyways. You can, you know, raise the lid on your project or whatever you're working on if you have multiple voices in. But I just wanted to note that you can create ownership very quickly if you give people the opportunity to share their voice and to be a part of what's being created. So that's really important from a leadership perspective as well.
Let me give you one more tidbit of wisdom.
Yeah, tidbit away.
So in that meeting, there are people that can, everything you need, this is biblical, scriptural, everything you need to grow your organization, to expand and build your organization is in your harvest field or is in your organization or more than likely, if they're not, they're in that room with you. If they're not, they know someone in the organization or someone they can access that will help your organization grow and thrive.
Right.
So if you do not give feedback, then that means that you are no longer leading from a standpoint of where you're using the high capacity of your team to grow and move forward, you're actually saying, well, I think it's my way, and I need you guys to agree with me.
Right.
And we're going to go in this direction, which is fine. If that's the way you're moving, that's fine. But that's not the way you should be moving if you have a high capacity team with you.
Right.
So everything you need to grow your organization can be found in the wisdom, the experience, and the knowledge of your people. Mm-hmm. If you do not give them the opportunity to give you feedback at that moment or during that meeting time, you are missing out on a golden nugget. It could be a little bucket that contains not brass, but it contains gold and rubies and jewels worth of information.
Yeah.
Here's the other good thing, or not a good thing, but the other point of a feedback. Sometimes negativity and poison comes into an organization, and it comes from departments or levels that you're not aware of.
Mm.
And some of your people in that room know about it.
Yeah.
And it would be very easy for them to voice and say, hey, listen, during this feedback time, I don't know if you've heard, but I've been hearing that this is starting to happen over here.
Yeah.
What? Oh, we didn't know that was happening, because we're three or four layers away from that with departmental and processes and all the other stuff. So poison starts creeping into the organization. And when it could have been dealt with on a weekly meeting basis or 2 weeks out, sometimes it winds up going straight to the leadership, and then leadership is now scrambling to put out a fire that has had gas poured on it multiple times.
Right.
And they're like, now they're dumping a whole bunch of stuff on everybody else. Hey, we got to put this fire out. When if they would have allowed the feedback to come in through some of their personnel earlier, they would have come up and said, hey, I think this might be an issue in the coming days or weeks or months, and we could have dealt with it.
Yeah.
So feedback is vital. It helps you grow, strengthen, and maintain the health of your organization. Feedback is vital because it helps stop poison, negativity, pitfalls, or issues from arising or making you, they will arise, but it will make you aware much quicker.
And just to ping onto what you just said too, as leaders, we have to develop thick skin. It can be hard to hear negative feedback or criticisms because we take it personally. Well, hey, I'm the leader. I didn't know this poison was creeping into my organization on my watch. So you might be tempted to ignore it or to right. push it away or just to say, you know, that's not really happening or that's just negative thinking. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times your followers are trying to give you helpful information because it's something they're dealing with, they're struggling with, or something they see. So we have to develop thick skin as leaders and be like, hey, maybe this did happen on my watch. What can I do to fix this to make this better for the organization? At this point, it's not about our egos. It's not about how we're leading. No. We need to do whatever it takes to fix it so that the organization thrives, so that the relationships and the people we have on our team are doing well. So really just developing that thick skin and being like, okay, even though this is something negative or something toxic is happening, I have to deal with it to make things get better. So just remember, it's not personal. It's just something that will help you grow in the organization.
Yep. Go ahead, Christina. Let's hit these points quickly. And,
okay.
Yeah.
So here are the four tips for using feedback to your advantage as a leader. So the first tip we want to give you is to keep it focused. As a leader, you're going to be using your team's feedback constructively. And we talk about this in our textbook, Volunteer U 101, Introduction to Volunteering. We say that feedback can be a powerful way to resource your volunteers, but it has to have boundaries. So you want to keep feedback focused. You want to create opportunities for people to give feedback, but you want to maintain that focus on the feedback. So don't just give people a platform where they can spit out and word vomit all of their issues or whatever they're feeling. You really want it to remain focused on the issue at hand. So key it in as a leader, keep them focused, create boundaries, and refrain from letting feedback become just a time of complaining about the organization or a specific person. You want to keep a firm rein on the exchange and focus on what you're trying to improve.
That's good, Christina. Why don't you keep going through the bullet points, and then I want to close out with another couple of stories.
Sure, yeah. So the second point we want to talk about is to keep feedback balanced. So again, feedback shouldn't always be negative. It's just as important to let people know what they are doing well as what they need to fix. So as a leader, as you're giving feedback, remember that feedback doesn't always have to be criticisms or here's what you're doing wrong. Feedback should also include a lot of encouragement. Hey, great job on that project. I noticed you did X, Y, and Z, and it really helped the organization to thrive. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for looking at the details. Keeping feedback both positive when needed and then corrective when needed is important. And so people need to hear that positive feedback just as much as they need constructive comments. So it's really important to be aware of both sides of the feedback process. And as a follower too, remember to keep it balanced. Your leaders need to hear encouragement just as much as they may need to know about toxicity that's happening within the organization or issues. They need to be told, hey, you're doing a great job leading. Thanks so much for keeping an eye out for us and keeping us on the right track. So remember to keep feedback balanced. The third step is going to be to keep feedback consistent. So you're missing out on a powerful tool if you only use feedback as a reactive mechanism. For example, when something bad happens, feedback should be consistently an opportunity for both you and your team to communicate on a regular basis. So for feedback to be its most effective, you should incorporate it into your daily routine. Don't just break it out once or twice a year or before performance reviews. We see this a lot when leaders don't say anything to their team, whether good or bad, throughout the year. And then whenever the performance review pops up, suddenly they have all these issues that need to be addressed, or they finally give people that encouragement that their team has been, you know, waiting for so long. Keeping consistent so that you can be making tiny adjustments throughout the year, throughout the day, instead of having to fix major issues once or twice a year. And encourage consistent feedback with your team to keep a hand on the pulse of what's happening. So encourage your team, hey, every once in a while, daily, weekly, whatever the case may be, hey, do you guys have any feedback about any projects, anything that's happening within the organization? What can we be doing better? So keep it consistent. And then finally, our fourth point here is to keep feedback casual. So there is an argument for having formal times of feedback, and it is important. A lot of times you'll see that formal feedback is done within performance reviews or maybe within a feedback system where you can anonymously give information to higher ups in the organization, and it's done through more formal channels. But really, there's something powerful about informal exchanges of feedback, casual conversations that take the stress out of the moment and help you get the real answers you need. Sometimes when you're in more formal settings, people don't always say everything because there's pressure. They worry about being penalized by higher ups if they share information. So you want to keep it casual if you're going to be doing it consistently, so that the team feels free to express themselves and know that they're not going to be punished for what they say. Asking your team to share their thoughts and ideas in a relaxed setting can lead to more creativity, and it gives you genuine responses. It also takes the pressure off and can develop greater trust between the two of you, so that there's freedom when the time for formal feedback situations come up. So if you're consistently keeping casual and balanced feedback throughout the year, then when it is time for those higher stress formal feedback situations like performance reviews, there's just a greater degree of trust and people feel more comfortable overall sharing their honest opinions.
That's great, Christina. So we've got these four points we talk about. Keep it focused, keep it balanced, keep it consistent, keep it casual. So we're talking about feedback. Now, I want to just close out with this. Once the feedback is given, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
So there has to be an intentional process of accepting that feedback and doing something with it.
Yeah.
You don't just smile and say, everybody, okay, listen, we're going to give you 5-10 minutes here at the end of the meeting. Feedback, comments, anything you want. We will take it under consideration. And then you receive the feedback. You just smile and the people walk out of there. They feel valued, but nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
So if feedback is given, here's what I want to encourage you. You do take it under consideration, and you really take it under consideration, because for someone to bring something up at a meeting or in a group and say, feedback, I'm giving you some feedback, I'm giving you a comment. Hey, listen, there could be, even if it's really out there, there could be a kernel or a smidgen of truth in that thing that you need to look at and say, well, wait a minute, I think this person does have a small point here. There's a point somewhere. So you need to look at it with serious eyes. You need to think it through. You need to accept it, receive that feedback, but then you need to respond to that feedback. Does that mean making an organizational adjustment, an organizational change, a personal change? You also need to let the person know at some point, whether maybe a few days later, a week later, send them an email or a call and say, listen, I really appreciate what you said. I want you to know I've been thinking about it, considering it. And by the way, even if you don't make a change, you let them know, but they'll feel, hey, you valued me. Yeah, you've been thinking about it for 3 days and you decided not to do something. That's fine, but at least you valued me. You took my feedback. For you to just take feedback and not do anything and not say anything, that's just disrespect for that person.
Yeah.
That person's going to look at that and say, okay, what's the point of you and me bringing anything up in the future if they're not willing to do something or even acknowledge the feedback?
That's good.
Now, let me give you a quick couple of stories. And this is personal experience. I'm not going to mention organizations, companies. I've been around for 40 years in business, so it could have been any one of the things I was involved with. We were at, I was at an event where they people were being trained and equipped, and after it was a couple day training, after every hour, 2 hours, the speakers, we were just dumping and downloading a lot of information. But at the end of each session was fantastic. Does anybody have any feedback? Does anyone have any comments before we take our break, before we go? And by the way, if you don't have something now, maybe later you'll have feedback. But we kept, even in the midst of a conference, a lot of information, they kept asking for feedback. At the end of the conference, closing comment, you know, they fill out a survey. What'd you guys think of this? All that kind of stuff. But then I thought this was remarkable. They went around. There must have been about 40 people in that. And they said, what was your takeaway from this? And what can you say publicly that we could do better?
Wow.
That took probably an hour and a half to go around. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know, we need to burn out of here. We got to pack up and head out of here. But something amazing happened. One of the guys gave great feedback, and he says, I never realized all the great things that you do as an organization, and I want to come alongside and partner with you.
Wow.
So what wound up happening is that organization picked up a partner that had massive network, had massive amounts of resources, funding, people. And so they were able to come alongside of the organization and do some pretty amazing things strategically with the organization. Now, would that person have come up? Maybe he would have on his own. But I think giving him that opportunity to share and to voice his heart was huge for the organization.
Yeah.
And then another story, and this was not valuing the feedback and not taking the feedback. I was in at a meeting with another group. And they had been working on a project, and they were investing a lot of money into the project, and they had asked several of us to come in, kind of, and they even said, we value your opinion, your feedback. So two or three of us voiced at the end, we said, hey, listen, we think this is, you're going down a rabbit hole. We think it's a money burner. It's not going to be really the focus of the organization, the mission, what's happening. But they didn't accept it. They didn't value us. They didn't even respond to us. Basically, after the meeting, as soon as the meeting was over, they said, okay, we're going to press on and continue to do this. So it was like, okay, you just asked us for our input. You didn't even acknowledge. You didn't say, okay, let us think about this and we'll get back to you in a couple of days. No, we're going to do this. So two or three years later, that they shut down that massive program. It had cost them several million dollars in resources. And they just realized that it was not a viable project.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking afterwards, I thought, man, you know, I wasn't the only one, but there were two or three other people in there much sharper than me that voiced their concern with the project. Mm. But yet leadership really felt that they needed to go in this direction. So feedback was not acknowledged or accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you, you've got two options. You're going to have people that are going to bring something that might be a correction kind of feedback. maybe it'll make you aware of some issues or something. Okay, acknowledge it, accept it, receive it, think it through. Somebody's going to come to you with positive feedback, and they may say, hey, I want to help the organization. I think we can make things grow and do things better. Acknowledge it and accept it. You accept both of them, and then you think it through. Make up a 24-hour rule or a 48-hour rule. When somebody gives you feedback, all right, let me think about this. Let me process it. I'll get back to you in a day or two with what I think. But I think that would be wisdom in whatever you do. And remember, feedback is neutral. It's not good or bad. It's just neutral. And you accept it, and you also give it whenever possible.
Let me ask you a question then, Baba, with your wisdom in dealing with feedback over the years. How do leaders know when to accept and when to reject feedback? For example, one time I was working in an organization and there was someone with seniority over me who offered me feedback, but I felt it was kind of off and a little bit rude. It seemed more self-servicing than really actual advice, but as someone younger, I tried to take that feedback and do what I could with it. So as younger leaders are kind of working in the workforce and dealing with different people in the organization, how do we know who to trust with feedback, right, and how to go about that?
Well, trust is earned.
Mm.
So, but if you're working for someone, if you're under someone, you have to have a good attitude about work. And listen, if they ask you to go take the garbage out, and if you have to throw it in the dumpster and the dumpster's overflowing and you got to jump up and down on the dumpster. Listen, I'm not saying you do something unsafe. You don't do anything immoral. You don't do anything that is against your will.
Uh-huh.
But the reality is you are working for someone. You're serving for someone. They're over you. So initially, if they say, hey, listen, here's the feedback, this is what I want you to do, and you might say, I don't know, I don't want to do it. But if you're serving them, working or volunteering, you go ahead and do it. Again, okay, if it doesn't cause any harm or it's not morally,
right,
wrong, but it's just not the way you're used to doing it, you go ahead and do it. But then maybe the next time, again, give them feedback. Just do it. Say, thank you. I'm going to do it. Happy. Okay. And then after you do it, approach them and say, can I give you some feedback too?
Okay.
I've done this now, and I think maybe it felt uncomfortable. It was awkward, or I don't know about doing it.
Yeah.
Is there another way we can do this?
Mm.
So then, and then see what they respond. Mm-hmm. If they receive the feedback, then you're now gaining their trust.
Mm-hmm.
If they did not accept your feedback, there's no trust there.
Mm-hmm.
So then you'll just have to be a little more cautious down the line.
Okay.
And then now maybe we'll do a future podcast on when is it time to leave an organization.
Oh, man. I'm going to take notes on that one.
When is it time to step away?
Right.
And, it's like, that's a whole different process anyway. But we'll talk about that in the future.
I'll put a note. That'll be one of the future episodes, is stepping away or leaving an organization. Well, guys, that's all we have for feedback. We hope you got some really good nuggets out of this episode. As always, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe and like and follow the podcast. You can also get more great resources for leadership and specifically volunteering on our website at www.volunteeru.org. So make sure you check us out.
And I want to just mention really quickly about Christina's book, Volunteer You 101, Introduction to Volunteering. It is, it's focused on leadership development and volunteer management, but here's the reality. 80% of that book, 85% is leadership development guidelines and tips. There's a lot of references in there. There's a lot of wisdom and knowledge in there. In fact, I've bought a few extra copies, and I've been passing them around to some of the other staff where I'm at, and they're using it as a guidebook, as a textbook, to prepare them and prepare their leaders to be better leaders at working with volunteers and with other teams. So I just encourage you, pick up a copy, get it, read it, and then pass it around to some of the other leaders that you're working with. You will not go wrong with that book. It is a high value, a resource. Volunteer You 101, Introduction to Volunteering by Christina Angelakis.
Thanks so much. What a nice plug.
That was a shameless plug.
But I liked it. Yeah. All the shameless plugs. Now, guys, you can check it out on our website at volunteeru.org, or you can find it online on Amazon as well. Well, we had fun talking about feedback today, and we will see you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership U podcast. For more resources for leaders, visit our website at volunteeru.org.